Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. We'll get back to On the Field coming up in a bit, but I want to read this quote to you guys, and I want to read it to you because there have been a lot of signs that Missouri is in trouble in regards to keeping the Chiefs on this side of state line. I mean, this sounds like a Hail Mary effort of all Hail Mary efforts. You want to know how I know you're losing the fight? You know when you and somebody are just having a nice little, you know, a little spar, a little verbal spar, and then you got to resort to name calling and cursing? You know that the other person has got you mad and they're winning the argument against you. Like, that's normally a sign. Or you and somebody are going back and forth, like, want to fight? Okay, what are we doing here? We're grown. Like, what? We're going to fight each other here in the parking lot? Stupid. This is how I know that Missouri is losing. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe floats the idea of a partial dome for Arrowhead Stadium. Let me read this to you. He floated the idea of a potential mixture of the two concept aimed at keeping the Chiefs on his side of state line. Mike Kehoe, who has been a regular in discussion with Chiefs executives, has said there has been no talk of building a traditional dome stadium in Missouri, but that doesn't mean that there couldn't be another type of covering for the Chiefs' well-known home. Quote, there are some interesting architectural improvements to make Arrowhead that could be conducive to an all-weather protective environment without being a full dome. I would say let's look at some of the structures that are in Europe that may have some sort of fabric device that goes over it. All right. Okay. Rob, what is this man talking about? This man just suggests putting a sheet over Arrowhead. Is that what he just said?
I mean, I'm stating the obvious here, but isn't one of the things about current Arrowhead that it can't do a dome? Like, isn't that one of, like, the big keys to the whole
conversation? No, I get it. I'm just asking, did this man just suggest we should put a sheet over Arrowhead? He said, I would say let's look at some of the structures that are in Europe that may have some sort of fabric device that goes over it. That's what he just suggested. I love Arrowhead. I really do. Who doesn't love Arrowhead? Arrowhead is a special part of all of our lives.
Even with whether, a big thing of fabric over it?
Whether you go to the game still, whether you don't go to the games, it is one of the most iconic venues to watch football in all of America. If these are the kind of suggestions that you have, then that run is coming to an end. It's coming to an end. It's over. What is he talking about? I'm here to tell you, I don't care what happened back in 2006 in a vote and about a rolling roof. They are not adding a retractable roof to a stadium that was built in 1972 in 2027. You know that. They know that. So if those are the kind of ideas you have, why are you even in this meeting? Leave.
I know we need to get to the on the field, but the fact that the governor is very randomly out of the blue discussing dome options for that stadium makes me think somewhere in the inner circles and the meetings that he's in, he's hearing that there is some sort of value that the team sees in having a dome. Is that a leap by me, or am I connecting dots? I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense to me if you were the Chiefs. If you were the Chiefs and another state or whomever is going to build you a complete stadium from scratch, I don't know why you wouldn't have a retractable roof. I'm serious. I don't know why you wouldn't have it. So I don't think the Chiefs want a dome stadium. Like, I don't think they're trying to build what the Falcons have. I don't think they're trying to build Allegiant. But you would be silly if you're Kansas City to not at least explore the idea of having a retractable roof. I'm just telling you, it makes sense to me to put a retractable roof on a stadium that was built in 2028. Of course. It's a modern stadium that is built for it. But if they're playing to keep Arrowhead here, and this is before you make any other improvements to the stadium, right? Before you make any other improvements, I assume that's not the only improvement you would want with Arrowhead. At that point, you just need to build a new stadium. We haven't touched the bathrooms. We haven't touched the concourse. How much do you think it would cost to put a brand new, retractable, modern roof over a 1972 stadium? $1 billion? Billion and a half? Build a new stadium then. What are we doing here? This is a terrible idea. I'm sorry. It's a bad idea. They've had a lot of bad ideas. This is one of the worst ideas. I like how the text line is trying to explain to us that it's not a sheet. Like I thought they were going to Home Goods.
Yeah, it's not.
And they were just going to grab a sheet. Okay, come on. Let's calm down now. I don't know why the text line is doing this. Actually, okay.
I didn't think Mike Kehoe was headed to Bed Bath & Beyond. Like, you think the extra large is better?
They were going to TJ Maxx to get a comforter set. I didn't think that's what they were doing.
You're thinking fitted or just like a blanket? What do you think the best move is?
Yeah, I don't want the text line. Kill me with
that.
We
understand that, yes, he was referring to not a true retractable roof, like a device like you see. I watch soccer. I know what you guys are referring to, but come on.
Yeah, all right, let's hit the button.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Carrying Knowledge Hits brought to you by Baker University. Make your next era orange at Baker University, the first university in Kansas and number one in return on investment among private universities in Kansas. Baker University, forever in our orange era. Carrington, you noticed you were in early today. I will credit you for that. You were in early, grinding away. It's Bronco week, and you were listening to old clips and cuts that we had done from previous guests getting ready for Denver, which we have had 2 weeks to prepare for, and you noticed something interesting that Mitch Holtis, who comes on this show Mondays at 4, had to say, not this week because he was off because of the bye, but last week, hear what Mitch had to say about the Chiefs as they get ready for this run.
The dumbest thing people do is to put up a full screen, whether it's on social media or traditional media, and go, if the playoffs ended today, this is the way it looks. It's stupid. That's dumb. It has no effect. Like, these next 8 weeks are going to be full of drama. And the Chiefs have work to do, but everybody understands that. But we've seen them respond in the past to be really good in the second half of seasons, even against elite competition. So I think I'm more excited about these next 8 games and starting with the Denver game, because I think that's going to be a heck of a game. But we've gone back and forth to woe is me and woe is me to, oh, they're the Super Bowl favorites. Now it's woe is me again. Just take it week by week and attack the next one.
Carrington, looking at the next 3 weeks, you notice that with the if the playoffs start today, hate, you notice the next 3 weeks have a very eerily similar feel to the first 3 weeks of the Kansas City Chiefs season.
So if you look at the season, the Chiefs really get a chance to start over. Very rarely in life do you get a second chance to completely start fresh, right? The Chiefs get a chance at a complete blank slate. I know what the Chiefs' record is. It doesn't matter. Everything that the Chiefs want to accomplish is right there in front of them starting Sunday. Every single thing. The Chiefs can still win their division. They can still quite possibly be the one seed. Everything that you think is a possibility is still in play for the Chiefs. And well, what do you know? It's like we find ourselves back to the very beginning of the movie. I always like when movies do that. I like when movies kind of foreshadow it a little bit. And then they rewind, and then as you watch the movie, like, oh yeah, that's that scene from the very beginning of the movie. You know the Chiefs played the first week of the season? They played a divisional opponent. Guess who they play in week one? A divisional opponent. In week two, they play the Philadelphia Eagles, a Super Bowl contending team. Well, what do you know? Next week, they play the Indianapolis Colts, a Super Bowl contending team in Arrowhead. Week three, what do you know? The Chiefs started on the road. Their first true road game was on the road against a team in the AFC East. Guess who they play in the third week of this second half of the season? They go on the road to play the team in in the AFC East or NFC East. They played a playoff team from last year in week four. They play a playoff team from last year in Houston coming up in a month. You guys don't see the symmetry in the schedule? Again, I don't care what the Chiefs' schedule is. They have the opportunity to completely start fresh. If the Chiefs win these next two games, which they didn't win the first two games, and they find themselves at 7-4 heading into what is clearly the softest part of their schedule, everything will be right with the world. You win this game against the Broncos, next week against the Indianapolis Colts, you're sitting there at 7-4 heading into a matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. That defense is extra, extra soft. You were talking about going on a run and really making some things happen. You got off to a slow start the last time when you got this opportunity. Well, now that we have pressed reset and we are starting forward, don't make the same mistake again. Take care of business in your division. And so far, the Chiefs, they have not taken care of business in their division. Now, they haven't played a lot of division games yet, and they have those in the second half of the season. But beating Las Vegas doesn't really impress me. They're a bad football team. You lost to the Chargers. Now, take care of business on the road against the Denver Broncos and regain your season. That's how I'm looking at it for the Kansas City Chiefs. They really get a chance to start over.
Number two.
You want to talk about Chris Jones here, or you want to wait until hit number three? Because I can wait until hit number three to talk about Chris Jones and your poll that you put up on social media.
Let's talk about Monday Night Football, and then we'll get to Chris Jones.
Let's talk about Monday Night Football, because last night to end the game, Nick Sirianni, every Chiefs fan's favorite coach. Really, if they were ranking coaches, Nick Sirianni
would be very lovable.
Just a really likable guy. He decided if they... scenario of fourth down, 30 seconds left, ball on the Packer 35. I'm going for it. Troy Aikman was befuddled by this decision.
Can't believe they're going for it here on fourth down. Hurts airs it out. A.J. Brown, it is broken up. And the play made by Valentine. And now, because they went for it, there's 27 seconds left, but there's life for Green Bay. They've got good field position, and they don't need much to get McManus into field goal range.
No, I don't know. I don't know what the thinking was here. You stopped the clock. Could have ran it down, and wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow. Wow. Carrington, try your best to explain what Nick Sirianni is doing that decision, not punting the ball.
It's my responsibility to explain the unexplainable? How can you explain this? I can't explain this. It was so bad that the ESPN analytics told you to punt the ball. Remember just 3 weeks ago, you and I had the bit that the ESPN analytics almost never tell you to punt the ball. They tell you to go for it in almost every single instance as they tell you to go for it. So, no, I can't. I can't explain that. I don't know how anybody can explain that. It's simple. You have to punt in that scenario. You have to. Green Bay has zero timeouts. Why would we potentially give them the ball in the middle of the field like they did? Why? And if Green Bay had even a decent kicker, they might have sent that game to overtime, and who knows what happens. It's just not what I would have done. Not even close. So let's talk about Chris Jones. So we have been talking about this today, if you missed it. We put up a poll question, and the poll question was fill in the blank. Blank needs to step up for the Chiefs in the second half of the season. Now, everyone was the more popular answer, which, okay, all right. I don't know why you always got to do this when it comes to these polls. But the second most popular answer was Chris Jones. This is how I see things. I think one of the worst things that you can do as a professional athlete is not live up to your contract. At least that's how it's treated. And I think what has heightened this more when it comes to Chris Jones is you did all of that and you haven't lived up to the deal. You remember, Chris Jones was under a very lucrative contract. He was not a rookie. that was a third-round pick who hadn't touched real NFL money yet, who had just greatly outperformed his deal and waiting for his big payday. He had already gotten that contract. He was a rookie. He outperformed his deal. They gave him a second deal. He was phenomenal in that second deal. And then he, let's use the correct term, pouted and didn't come to work to try to get a new contract. So much so that there is a usual point of pride in which you just show up to work. And Chris Jones said no, so much to the fact that he wasn't on the field for their home opener. He wasn't on the field for the home opener that they had. The Chiefs eventually worked it out. Everybody, cooler heads prevailed, and they moved forward. At the end of that season, the Chiefs gave Chris Jones a massive contract extension, one that I would say he earned based on being one of the best defensive players in the National Football League. Now, the hardest thing is you got to now live up to the contract that they gave you. And the contract that they gave you was 5 years, $180 million. He got $30 million the day that he signed that contract, and that contract guarantees him $95 million. Now, to whom much is given, much is expected. So if you were going to take $158 million and 95 of it guaranteed, the expectation is that you were going to go ball out. Chris Jones has not balled out since he signed that deal. He has played in 24 games. He has 7 sacks since he signed that with 50 tackles. I know, pressures, double teams, all of those things. Well, if you were looking at the top contracts amongst defensive players in the National Football League, Chris Jones, I don't think, is playing up to the same level as those guys. He is currently the 5th highest paid defensive player in the National Football League. And we're talking about dogs. Micah Parsons, Aiden Hutchinson, TJ Watt, we're talking about that level of compensation. So when you get paid like that, the expectation is for you to be in the defensive player of the year conversation. The expectation is for you to be a double-digit sack guy. We have now seen the sacks go down for Chris Jones in each of the last 4 seasons. He was at 15 and a half sacks. It went to 10 and a half sacks. He had 5 sacks last year. He didn't have the most sacks on the team. He wasn't in 2nd last year with sacks on the team, and now he currently sits at 2. So I understand why there is a level of frustration with Chris Jones and why the expectations for Chris Jones is to play better. If this defense is going to reach its ceiling and be the best defense that it can be, it cannot get there without Chris Jones. You cannot be paying a player what the Chiefs are playing Chris Jones and get 4.5 sacks from him. That's just not how this works. So you're going to need more from him. You're going to need more from Charles Aminahou. You're going to need more from Mike Dana, because you are going up against, in these next couple of weeks, 2 of the best offensive lines in the National Football League, 2 of the best run games in the National Football League. We just saw one team run all over you in the Buffalo Bills and throw the ball whenever they wanted to. Denver is going to look at that and think they can replicate that as well. Same thing with the Indianapolis Colts when they come in here next Sunday.
Let me ask you this about Chris Jones. And maybe this is an impossible question to answer, but considering fan sentiment right now with Chris Jones, and considering his contract and his age and all the variables, how do you think it ends between the Chiefs and Chris Jones? And maybe I'm asking, how's it end between Chiefs fans and Chris Jones? Because it feels like a break is coming and Chris is not finishing his career in Kansas City. Now, I don't think he's going to go play for a team and he's going to become an all-pro or ball out or anything like that. But I don't know he's finishing his career in Kansas City. How do you think the Chris Jones story ends? Because right now, and I'm just using the text line as my barometer, maybe that's a bad barometer, so it goes. There is a lot of, he's lazy, he quit on that play against the Jags, and it's all name, no game, and a lot of people are questioning his effort on the text line. Considering that is fan sentiment, and his, let's be honest, very big contract, how do you think it ends with Chris Jones in Kansas City?
In no way do I think the personality of these two people are the same, or do I think the reasons why are the same. But follow me here. I think one of the reasons there was a fallout between the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill is Tyreek was never going to be loved by fans the way that Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are. Patrick Mahomes is the king of the city. Travis Kelce, even before the relationship with Taylor Swift, beloved in Kansas City. Like, I'm talking Kansas City, Mount Rushmore, all-time, Derek Thomas, Lynn Dawson, elite status. The city didn't embrace Tyreek like that. I don't think the city embraces Chris Jones in that way. There is a measure of protection that Patrick Mahomes will always get because he's Patrick Mahomes, right? He's Patrick Mahomes. Like, whenever they put his name up there in the Ring of Honor, his name shouldn't be the same color as everybody else. Like, it should be red or gold or something. Like, his name should look a little bit different. Travis Kelce, obviously, just a different level of love. I think that Chris Jones is polarizing in a way that a first ballot Hall of Famer usually isn't. So when you ask how I think it ends, I think we know how this ends. I know that everybody wants the fairy tale and everybody wants the Salvador Perez. You play one organization. Everybody loves you, Salvy Splash, and you only play in one uniform. We all watch enough sports to know that ain't the case. Like, Vince Carter went to go play for another team. Like, there is not a player that is more Toronto Raptors than him. He went to go play for the Brooklyn Nets and a whole lot of other teams after that. Like, we can give you countless examples, football, basketball, baseball, give you countless examples of star player for an organization that eventually left and had to play a couple of years in a different uniform. I think we know how this story ends for Chris Jones. The question is, how much can you get out of this contract before that happens? Chris Jones is obviously on the team this year, and financially, I mean, it ain't really costing you that much this year. His base salary is $13.7 million. His cap hit is $23 million. Now, the dead cap is ridiculous, but also, again, you're not cutting Chris Jones or trading him. Next year, the number goes up pretty significantly. Part of that is you just restructured his contract. So we were going through this earlier, and in case you missed it, but that I think sometimes when fans hear the term restructure, they think that that means that the player is taking a pay cut or doing any of those things. No, that's not what happened. So last year when the Chiefs went to Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones for a restructure, Mahomes' contract is structured very differently. It's like a living contract. Like, I don't know why we talk about his move and where it can, like, Patrick Mahomes has the most unique contract of any athlete in American professional sports. Chris Jones has a conventional contract. So whenever Chris Jones agreed to do that, the restructure, he locked himself into a significant amount of money guaranteed. He locked himself into a roster bonus that has already been paid. He got paid $15 million for just simply being on the team. Don't matter how you play, they got to owe you a $15 million check. Also, when he restructured, he guaranteed himself $16 million that has already been guaranteed because he is on the team this season. So there is no getting rid of Chris Jones. He is going to make a significant amount of money. Think about this. Chris Jones is going to get $16 million in March for being on the team. He also is going to get game checks that are break down $19 million by 17 games. A significant amount of money playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. So all in here, I know that's a lot of numbers. His cap hit is $44.8 million. Now, after next season is when things get really interesting. That's when the Chiefs can get out of his contract. Now, I don't think you should be in the business of restructuring your contract for the highest paid players on your team every year, because all you do is give them more money and more leverage, and you can't walk away from it. So right now we're sitting here with a 31-year-old Chris Jones, and I'm asking you honestly, do you still want to be in business with Chris Jones when he's 33 years old? Because some of you don't seem too excited about it now at 31. We're talking about more games, more hits, more tackles on your body over the next year, year and a half. So I think we know where this is headed. I think that Chris Jones has a year and a half left on the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think Chris Jones, whether it gets cut, released, the two go their separate ways, and Chris Jones finishes out his career with another team. He then signs a one-day contract to come back with the Kansas City Chiefs. We see how this happens before. Eventually, time moves on when it comes to NFL players. We've seen that with everybody. And if the Patriots can move on from Tom Brady, then trust me, the Chiefs can move on from Chris Jones.
I saw this analogy earlier on the text line, and if you sent this text in, I credit you for saying it. I don't remember your number. Sorry. They said it's going to feel like Eric Berry. Because I think if we went around Arrowhead, I guess a week from Sunday, and asked people, how do you feel about Eric Berry? The sentiment would be, oh man, he was a great player here. But there's a sour taste in fans' mouth because of the end. Now, I think the end for Eric Berry was very different than the end will be for Chris Jones. I don't think you know, to my knowledge, there's no thought that Chris Jones' body is betraying him the same way that Eric Berry's was, but there's a little bit of a sour taste in people's mouths because it felt like Eric Berry wasn't as locked in as they would have liked. I think that's how people are going to view Chris Jones in 3 to 5 years. You're going to walk around Arrowhead and they'll be like, yeah, that guy's going to the Hall of Fame. That guy's in the Ring of Honor. That guy was part of all those Super Bowls. But man, it just, it ended dirty. It ended grimy. And I don't like the taste of my mouth. That's the analogy I made. And I credit the text line for making that analogy.
I don't know if it's going to end dirty or grimy. I just think that we notice it ends how sports ends. Like, I think we look at movies because movies, like, we love movies because they wrap up so beautifully, right? Like, the hero always gets to win in the end. Man, that's not how sports always works. Like, that is not how sports works. Kobe Bryant, his last 2 years, never played on a winning basketball team. Like, we can go through so, like, Allen Iverson finished his career with the Detroit Pistons. Sports happens. Because I don't care how good you are, for 99.9% of athletes, they are looking for somebody younger and cheaper. And I'm telling you, in 18 months, the Chiefs will find somebody younger and cheaper. So it doesn't matter what you've done for them in the past. It is truly a what have you done for me lately business. I do want to answer this. Someone says, C-Dot, why do you keep saying that Chris Jones is the first ballot Hall of Famer? Check the stats. I don't think that's a given at all. We don't have to do that with Chris Jones' career. If you are a three-time Super Bowl champion and you are the best defensive player on a dynasty, you have been an All-Pro 6 separate times in your career. You have made the Pro Bowl every year since 2019, and you are undoubtedly going to be the first team all-decade defensive tackle, you and Aaron Donald. There is not a question in my mind on whether or not Chris Jones is going in on the first ballot Hall of Fame. It is not a doubt in my mind if that is going to be the case. So I have already put that aside. He is going to Canton, and he should go to Canton on the first ballot. The question is he only going to wear a Chiefs uniform in his career? And I just don't know if you can confirm that based on how this third contract is going with the Chiefs and how much money they are going to owe him over the next 18 months or so. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with C-Dot. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone on the text line is like sending examples of, well, what if Chris Jones did this or did that? I think the difference, at least when it comes to Chris Jones, is Chris Jones' contract doesn't expire until 2028. Like, Chris Jones is under contract for ages 30, 31, 32, 33, and 34. So, I mean, in theory, there's really 4 more years left of this contract. Now, we see this happen all the time in the National Football League. Veteran player is owed a whole lot of money. Team just moves on from said contract, eats the dead cap space, and then goes on and lives the rest of their life. So that is not an abnormal thing to have happen. So that's why, at least to me with Chris Jones, some of these examples, like somebody said, what about Jason Kelce? Jason Kelce was different. Jason Kelce was in the same situation that his brother is in. His contract expired. He then negotiated a 1-year deal with them. So they started from scratch. Hey, you want to be here. We want you here. We need you to work with us a little bit. Cool. We'll make that happen. Chris Jones is owed next season. The Chiefs owe Chris Jones $35 million. And then after that, the Chiefs then owe him $28.2 million. So if a company owed you $28.2 million and now they're telling you, hey, we want you to take less. No, no, I'm not taking less. We agreed to this contract. So the Chiefs just don't really have a whole lot of options when it comes to Chris Jones' contract. I mean, you could trade it potentially. I wouldn't say it doesn't make much financial sense for you for the next couple of years. Or you got to get through the guaranteed money portion of it. And then you're faced with a very serious decision about what you want to do with this deal. Now, we got time for that to be the case, but I think in theory, we're about halfway done with the Chris Jones deal. We are almost at the midway point. He has a half of a season left on this year, a full season next year, and then you can make a decision about what you want to do with Chris Jones. So far, it has not gone well. He has played 24 games and has 7 sacks for the Chiefs. If they get another 7 sacks in this next year and a half, we ain't got to worry about this conversation because they're cutting them. They're going to cut them. They're going to take the $19 million in cap saving, and they're going to go try to find Chris Jones' replacement because that's how sports works. And somebody else is making the point. I'm sorry to, Rob, not give you a space there. Someone else said, could he restructure? Restructuring just gives Chris Jones more and more leverage because restructuring him the last time, so the Chiefs signed this deal with Chris Jones. He signed this deal on March 9th of 2024. He then restructured his deal on March 12th of 2026. Now, I understand we talk about the funny money and the guaranteed money when it comes to this thing, but if you guaranteed me $95 million, I want my $95 million. They gave him a $30 million signing bonus, so they owe Chris Jones $65 million more. They owe him $65 million. So, yeah, you can keep restructuring it, but you were just going to guarantee it later in the contract, or you could just pay the guaranteed money and be out of this deal. You cannot get out of this when you sign a player to this level of contract. So this is something they just got to live with. I wouldn't advise you every year to just keep restructuring the deal. That's how you get to Jawan Taylor's contract. And if they do that with Chris Jones, that's how they will be. Well, they will owe a 34-year-old Chris Jones a boatload of money because they kept rolling the problem back.
Well, first off, I'll say they actually, that one of the restructures, the final restructure they did with Taylor actually helped them because it made him cuttable at the end of this year. They had to make him the highest cap hit in the NFL, but I actually don't think the last restructure with Taylor is a bad call. But you kind of took the wind out of my sails here. I was going to say, there's a common misconception among fans about what a restructure looks like. A restructure is not, hey, Chris, we love you. We gave you that contract. You're a Ring of Honor guy. You're not living up to it. So we're going to offer you a new contract where you get less money. The player's going to say no. A restructure is just spreading out the cash over more years. If anything, a restructure usually either A, gives the player more cash immediately, so it becomes more cuttable later, which the way Chris Jones' contract is structured, he's already getting the cash up front because of the out in 27. So that's not a thing. Or B, you start spreading the cash he has over the length of his contract, which makes him harder to cut, which doesn't solve the Chiefs' problem that the text line is laying out about not wanting to pay him when he's 34 or 35. So a restructure sounds good conceptually, but it's a restructure, not a new deal. No player is signing up for a restructure unless they're A, getting more money up front, which does create cap flexibility, but also makes Chris Jones very wealthy in the short term, or it makes Chris Jones a guy who's here for the length of his whole 5-year deal. That's what restructure means for Chris Jones' deal.
This would be, I think, a practical, real-world way to, I guess, explain what restructures are, because you're right, this comes up all the time. So let's just use a round number. Let's say that you are an employee and you make $100,000 a year. In a football sense, what they do when they can restructure your deal is, you know how you get that every 2 weeks? They could just give you the $40,000 at the beginning of the year. Hey, for accounting purposes, we're just going to give you $40,000 of it. So now, throughout the course of the year, you are going to get paid like you are a $60,000 a year employee, but they've already paid you the $40,000 from the very, very beginning. And then, in a football sense, and what Chris Jones is, sure, I'm happy to do that, but I need you to guarantee that next year you guys can't fire me. So that's in essence what they did. You still gave the employee in this the $200,000, but you moved the money around a little bit in the very, very beginning, and for the employee agreeing to move that money to help you guys a little bit, they have now made it where they can't fire you the next year. You were not firing or trading Chris Jones, not when you got to give him $16 million March 3rd. You are not firing him. You're not getting rid of him. You're not trading him. He's on the team. And you owe him the $18 million a year over the course of the season. So he's going to hit you for the $16 million, and then he's going to make $1 million a game that he plays for you. So I would just say you got to take your medicine at some point when it comes to Chris Jones. You don't have anything about it. You gave him the $95 million guaranteed. Pay the $95 million guaranteed, and then decide what you want to do when he's a 33-year-old player. That's what I would advise you to do. Rob, we haven't talked enough today about the top story in sports. Can I give you my Nico Harrison thought really quickly?
Absolutely.
I know you don't listen to rap, but I think you will follow this. If you listen to rap, I think you would agree that there is still a cloud that hangs over the genre because Drake and Kendrick got in a big argument last year. Like, I don't know if it's the same as it was before then. Like, it is not the same for Drake. It's not the same for J. Cole. Not the same for really anybody. And this was last May that this all happened between these individuals. The exact same thing is happening in the NBA with Nico Harrison. It is still the number one story in the NBA that the Dallas Mavericks traded Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. It is the big how did this happen? The Lakers right now would not be a contending team, not even close. Their best player is 41 years old and is out with old man disease. They would not be one of these teams. But because the Dallas Mavericks traded one of the five best players in the world to the Los Angeles Lakers, it has kept them incredibly viable and incredibly relevant. And in return, they got Anthony Davis, who you guys might find this hard to believe, he's hurt. I know that's tough. I know you won't believe me, but I'm telling you, AD's hurt and dealing with injuries, and they got two first round picks for it. So when you go from a couple of years ago, it was Mavs Celtics in the finals, to you now have the number one overall pick, and now you have pieces that just don't really fit. Like, you signed Klay Thompson with the expectation was that he was going to play with Luka and Kyrie, that those guys were going to create space, and now you got Klay Thompson to knock down open jumpers, kind of like what he did in Golden State. There's nobody on that team to create open jumpers for him. Luka's gone, and Kyrie is hurt. Who's creating shots for Klay Thompson? So you have made one of your other assets meaningless now at this point. Anthony Davis is dealing with injury. Kyrie tore his ACL. Derek Lively, who's turned into a very, very good rebounder, he's out. The Mavs stink. So somebody has to answer for that, and we all knew who it was going to be. I mean, Nico Harrison just should have resigned the day that this happened. When he saw all the backlash, he should have just resigned there. I mean, this day was inevitable. I'm really surprised that the Mavericks let this go on as long as they have. I'm surprised that the Mavericks let this go on for another 9 months that he was going to continue to be employed by their team. I'm stunned that that's the case because I think we all knew that this day was coming, and it's here. It is absolutely here. Coming up on the other side, I question Rob's fandom. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, You know that this segment kind of turns into a hodgepodge of things at the end of the show. Thing number one, I've been really thinking about getting back into sewing. I kind of fell off for a little bit. And you know how TikTok, you just get caught up in like a certain algorithm, or maybe you don't use TikTok. Maybe you're on like Instagram Reels or whatever. And sewing TikTok has found its way back onto my phone. And I'm like, man, you know what? I kind of do miss going sewing. So, Rob, I'm here to tell you that today I signed up for a class that tells you how to make a hoodie. Would you want my first ever Carrington hoodie?
Maybe not the first.
Okay, you want me to practice a little bit?
Get that rough draft out of the way. Get the exhibition game done.
Do you still have the pillow I gave you?
In my basement, yeah.
Okay,
in my man cave.
I didn't make you a pillow.
Can I ask you this? There was a time where you're like, I'm gonna learn to sew, and then I'm gonna learn to swim. What happened there? There was big goals on swim learning, and it just stopped.
I started working on that documentary, and I just didn't have as much time in the morning as I used to have. I used to have a lot of time in the morning, like. Usually, whenever somebody's like, oh, we need you to do something, I'm like, normally between like 8 to 11:30, I'm normally pretty free. But then I got really busy during that time, and then I was like, well, you know, and then I kind of fell off, and now I kind of miss sewing. And I'm like, man, there's this class they're going to teach me how to make a hoodie. I would love to know how to make a hoodie. I want to make Rob a hoodie. I'm not making you a KU hoodie. I hope you don't think that's the case, but...
What? Why not? The pillow you made me is a KU pillow? What's the difference?
That's a good point. It didn't take me that long, though. It was quick. I don't want to deal with all that fabric for that long. It's too much.
That feels like the hoodie's fault, not the actual
one. No, that's
way.
Fair. No, that's
if you're making me a Chiefs thing, if you're in the same problem, it's a lot more fabric for a hoodie versus a pillow.
That's a very, very fair point. The second thing that I want to tell you is... Remember, I told you that I was preparing to make an offer on a condo, and then I talked to somebody, and they told me, don't, is what they told me.
On that specific condo, yeah. Correct? Not on that, don't in
on
general.
That, on that building, they told me not to, and I was like, okay, somebody put an offer in today. I feel like that place was supposed to be mine. I did feel a measure of sadness when that message was reported to me today. I was like, oh, man. Because then I started having ideas, and I was like, oh, man, I want to paint this, and I want to do this. Oh, man, it's going to be so cool. I like the building. And then I had to talk to the head realtor person, and they were like, no, don't. We would not have – I was told, Rob and I, quote, we would not advise any of our clients to move in here. And I was like, oh, boy.
Be fair, you're looking at a glass half empty. You got a glass half full. You may have dodged a bullet.
I could have dodged one.
For a car analogy, you might have avoided buying a lemon.
I don't want to. Nobody
that's
wants a
win.
Lemon.
And you know what? The amount of money you put into a house, don't want a lemon. You don't want that at all.
Okay, well, I'm going back condo shopping today. I'm going around to look at a couple of places. So
Kansas side or?
Rob, stop asking me that. Stop. I'm not moving to Kansas. Under any circumstance, I've never looked at a place. I've never clicked on a place that was in the state of Kansas. I've never even read more information about a place that's in Kansas. I don't want to live there.
I'm just telling you, I read a news story recently from our friend John Ketz over at Fox 4 about how the northeast corner of the Asperia campus now has the Andretti Racing area. They're going to get Yard House soon. They're going to get Capital Grill soon. And there's hotels and shops moving in. And maybe the Royals one day. So there's a lot of opportunity in Overland Park in Kansas.
Hold on. Can you go back? What did you say they're going to have? Capital Grill. We have that on the Missouri side, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you're not close to the Capital Grill. You could be closer by moving to get a house 119.
I didn't know.
And it's like you go to Yard House all the time, I presume.
No. There's also a Yard House... In Kansas City, right? There's
not Andretti Racing, though, baby.
Okay, I got it.
I know how you left a go-kart in the 90s.
I get to live Andretti Racing, living on Missouri, so I got Dodge potholes like it's Frogger. I've already been practicing for Andretti Racing, is what I've been doing. This guy just told me that he's willing to help me learn how to swim. Think I should take his information?
I mean...
I would like to learn.
Yeah, I mean, there's no harm in learning.
Do you know how to swim?
Yes, I know how to swim.
Is that something you just learned like...
I learned as a kid. It was a learned skill. It wasn't like...
Oh, well, that didn't happen for me. I would like to know how to swim, though. I would like to do it.
I mean, I'm not like no one's confusing me for Michael Phelps in the water, but I don't.
I didn't get that.
But if you're like, hey, swim across the pool and back,
you
I could do
Ryan
it.
Lochte energy anyway.
Don't do that.
That's what you got.
Don't do that.
Ryan Lochte energy.
Absolutely not.
What happened to Ryan Lochte, man?
Didn't he get into trouble? He got into trouble, I think.
Remember he lied about the people in Brazil? Yeah, he lied about them. They don't take too kindly to that.
I don't think a lot of people take kindly about being lied about.
No, I'm with you. I don't know what happened to Ryan Lochte. I'm not sure. It kind of stinks that we don't have ESPN today, because today is actually a really, really good college basketball night.
I have to watch Texas Tech on FS1. That's all. That's what I get.
You know what?
That's what
you can't watch? The NBA today. The NBA, they've been doing a really good job with the games on NBC. They really have been doing a good job. Have you seen the one that's today?
I have not. I've honestly been only through the college basketball schedule for tonight.
All right. Well, it is, I think it's Warriors Thunder, actually, is that game. Oh, no, it's Celtics Sixers. My bad. I apologize. Celtics Sixers is the NBC Peacock game. So, yeah, check it out. And then it's Nuggets Kings at night, if you want to watch that.
That's a big skip. Who wants to watch the Kings on purpose?
Well, you don't want to watch Christian Brown?
I mean, I'll watch Christian Brown.
I remember what I wanted to talk to you about before I got distracted. How do you keep selling your KU basketball tickets? You still haven't seen Darren Peterson play in person.
I'll see him Saturday. I'll see him.
Is that not crazy that I've seen Darren Peterson in person and you haven't seen Darren Peterson?
You saw him in high school, and we were going to go that game together until DeBanta's bum school.
I still went anyway because I love basketball. I still went anyway. You don't love basketball. You didn't go. You should have been there. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to start our transition to Chiefs and Broncos tomorrow. We'll catch you guys. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive. Mahomes is on the show tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.